Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we revisit with the Newton CEO, Aki Yorihiro, a mastermind in his own right. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you can be around as usual. Got a great hour planned and want to check some technology. Want to see what's going on with the industry. We want to talk Live Tour. We want to talk Champions Tour. We talk a lot more with our guest this hour. That is Aki Yorihiro. He is the CEO of a little company called Newton Golf Company. We introduced you to him, well, I think 2 years ago now. It's crazy how time has flown, but so many good things coming out of the Newton Golf Company factories, and I appreciate Aki making time because he's a traveling man. He's all over the place. He's playing golf, and he's trying to lead this charge for Newton Golf. So welcome back to the show. Always good to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Keith.
Not a problem. I wanted to have you on this week because we started seeing a lot of things happening in the industry manufacturing-wise. And lo and behold, we found out about the shortage of carbon fiber. You know, things that go into shafts, which you know very, very well, many things about carbon fiber and things that go into shafts. So it's crazy because one says, oh, there's this unrest in the world going on in numerous places, and, oh, we're trying to make golf clubs out of the same material that they make weaponry out of.
That's exactly what's going on. And listen, I mean, obviously national security is very important, much more important than, you know, me playing golf. And keeping America safe is of the utmost importance. So we understand. But yes, we, as the user of a lot of carbon fiber, you know, we were notified that there's going to be this shortage earlier in the year. So we've had to, you know, adapt accordingly. Like we always have to. It's all good.
So how do you adapt? Do you go to different materials? Production varies? What?
Yeah, so it's very difficult. You know, the you know, it's not like changing tomato when you have a hamburger stand. So when we design shaft and we test shafts and we have certain specification and certain performance, you just can't just switch one fiber to another fiber. It just changes the whole shaft entirely. And that's the constraint. And it's not a commodity because it is very specifically manufactured. So if I buy from, we buy exclusively from a company called Toray in Japan. And I believe they are absolutely the finest and the best carbon fiber makers in the world. But if we went to one of their competitors and say, hey, do you have something that's equivalent? They'll probably say yes, but when you actually start to handle it and use it, it's so different that you just can't make you just can't substitute it. It's not like a tomato, like you would have to reinvent the hamburger all over again. So that's the hard part. Luckily for us, you know, I'm Aki Yorihiro, I'm Japanese. Toray is a Japanese company. And I have, we buy from Toray US, their very large subsidiary in the United States, but I've also maintained a very close relationship with the parent company in Japan. And so we have been able to supplement our carbon fiber needs from Toray Japan, the headquarters. And so that's been a true blessing. But even then, the Japanese fibers use a little bit, you know, different resin. The thickness is a little bit different. And so once again, we do have to make a lot of adjustments, but at least it's in the same family and, you know, it's in the ballpark.
Well, you're the mad scientist along with the CEO and the CTO. But what do you do adjustment-wise to make these shafts be able to be as productive or close to productive as the originals?
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. My preference is always to, if I had access to different fibers, my preference would be to create a different shaft altogether to utilize the different fibers and bring out the strength and of that's particular to those fibers. In our case, we have seen the U.S. carbon fiber supply bounce back a little bit. So we are actually in a better position today than we were, say, 2 months ago. So that's been a huge relief. We are launching three different lines of shafts this year. And it was maybe kind of a blessing in disguise that this all happened this spring, because we shifted the development of these new to-be-launched lines of shaft using the Japan fibers instead of the U.S. fibers. And so, that way, if the U.S. fiber is limited, I'll continue to use those for the existing lineup. The new lineup, we're actually using the Japan fibers to develop and launch. So, that'll help us with the geopolitical risks. And, it also diversify our ability to develop, future shafts.
That's a huge transition, Aki, for Newton Goff to be able to make.
Yeah. And it's just, fascinating. I think, I'm kind of a nerd, obviously. And somebody says, well, these two fibers are pretty similar, but when you touch it, and you feel it, and you start wrapping with it, they're quite different. And it's something that's kind of hard to communicate to people. To me, it's fun, because you get to learn. You get to know a different fiber. Like, we do all sorts of testing. Before we even start making shafts with a new material, we basically play around with it. I mean, we touch it. We'll cook it, we'll heat it, we'll cut it, just really try to understand what the animal is. And then you start with the process of, okay, how does this fit in to a certain concept? And, but it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, very fascinating. What are you looking for when you're cutting into it and you're cooking it and all these things that you said?
You're just trying to understand it. I think the analogy, I love to eat and I love to cook, right? Mm-hmm. So if you went to a farmer's market and you see a vegetable that you've never cooked with before, right? You say, okay, well, I'll take one. I want to play around with it, right? So you cut them up, you're going to eat it raw, you're going to steam it, you're going to grill it, you're going to braise it. And, what does it do? What does it do? And that's really kind of what you do, right? It's obviously manufacturers will send you the spec sheet, but spec sheets can only tell you so much. When you actually start to handle it and you start to roll it, and pretty much it affects everything, right? It'll affect anything from how you handle it, the settings on your various machines, even the temperature and the length of how you would cook the shafts, how wide of a material you want to use it. Some materials are a little softer, so you don't want to use a very wide, you don't want to cut a wide piece, for example. I mean, it's just the whole gamut. To me, it's a lot of fun. And I know the materials are awesome, right? That's the thing. It's not like I'm going to a random supplier and seeing if their stuff is really good or just okay. I know it's coming from the best producer in the world. And, there is a little bit of a qualitative difference between Japan and U.S., but it's just awesome material. I think the materials that come from Japan in particular are just tremendously fabulous. It's just up to us to figure out how to use it.
I love the food analogy. That was fascinating to me, but it takes me to the next step, because I'm thinking, since you talk about the Japanese company and heritage and such, I'm thinking of sushi rolls. So it's like rolling a shaft similar to different, whether I'm putting ahi tuna in there or cucumber or what have you, similar to that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like if you put something that's a little bit, has too much liquid content in the middle, it'll get soggy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other analogy that I love, and I do use it from time to time, is a good sushi roll has that tuna right in that middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
The rice is dispersed evenly so that it's a round object and the tuna's right in the middle. And, you know, that's kind of how we try to make our shaft is, you know, the shaft has to be very round, and it has to be very even. And, you know, those are some of the, you know, many elements of a good shaft. So, there's definitely a lot of food analogies there.
Well, I know I did it to myself, but now we'll never look at a sushi roll the same way again. So thanks.
That's right.
You're a hero, I tell you. Geez, it's unbelievable. It's worth Aki, you're a hero of Newton Golf Company, CEO, CTO, and the mad wizard. He gets into the laboratory and such. And I wanted to touch on the industry, and you know, your product is substantial and real, I'll put it that way, because there's a lot of smoke and mirrors in the golf industry, and there has been for many, many years. But you have substantial pros that have played your shafts, including Mark O'Mara and a guy named John Daly, you know, and the list goes on, and you got Jimenez in there. So, you know, these guys don't just pick up anything, and I hearken back to when you and I met at Congressional when Ernie Els was using the shaft, and it was interesting to see these guys, because it's a hard sell for those guys. It's part of their equipment, and you're changing their equipment.
Right. It is their livelihood, and they know their swing very well. They know the equipment very well. They've tested a lot of equipment, and at the end of the day, if they don't think they're going to play better with, let's say, our shaft, they're never going to put it in play. Never. Right?
Right.
So, and that's great, you know, because we are, you know, our core brand philosophy is performance first, right? Science first. It's not about, you know, a loud, marketing campaign of a mediocre product. Like, I really do care about performance. And I do believe that performance will speak for itself. And I'm not the most elegant guy in terms of marketing and sales. So, you know, I rather make a great product and let that speak for us. And, you know, as it relates to the tour, you know, it's very rewarding, you know, when the effort is acknowledged by, you know, some of the very best players, you know, who have ever walked the planet. And it's very rewarding. And we also, you know, obviously learn a lot. You know, that's why we're out there. You know, yes, I want them to play, but I am also out there to learn. We're a small company, so I think one of the things we do well is we don't design in a vacuum. Like, we're not a company where we got engineers in a room and they just design stuff to meet a certain spec and they've never played golf, right? All of us that design, we love golf. We play golf. We study the golf swing. We study the very best golf swings of the very best players. We get feedback from the best players. We try to learn, you know, and I think that's what makes us, you know, pretty cool, because I don't think a lot of, you know, not every company does that.
Right. I don't think there's any question. It's a special relationship that you built with Aki, you're a hero, the CEO of Newton Golf Company. We'll be back. We are back with Mr. You're a Hero. He is with the Newton Golf Company. If you listen to the show, you know, we try to be right in the front lines, cutting edge. And we met Aki at Congressional during a huge senior or champions event, let's say that, you know, seniors. You know, cause you can be 50 and be a senior, which is not the same thing as a senior and a senior. So, you know, but you can be 18 and be a senior too. So, yeah, we include all seniors from that standpoint. But it was fascinating watching you work that driving range, and guys would come out and acknowledge you, and I look over to the left of me, and there's this bag, tour bag of shafts. I'm thinking, where's the head to these things? Because a bunch of things missing over there. But you know, you've had an impact on the industry, and I mentioned some of the guys that have played the shafts, but the list is fairily substantial. Chris DeMarco, Colin Montgomery, Freddie Funk, and Olin Brown, amongst others. So. And then Dookie's in there. Ken Duke, I got to make sure I mention him or he'll get mad
Dookie's
at me.
Dookie's in there. Yeah, Olaf Abel's in there. You know, I think I actually counted, and, you know, these days we have a few players in the PGA Tour as well. I don't go to the big tour, but I think we have three or four players as well. I think we're up to, you know, we launched in November 23, and we have had 77 players who have entrusted their livelihood by putting a Newton shaft in play in a tour event, right? So 77 different players, and you know, it's fantastic. It's really fantastic. But you know, it's and again, I said it earlier, but it's rewarding because we do care. Like, I really care, you know, that it flies better, right? It's just such a high to be able to hand somebody an object and they hit it and it goes fantastic and they look at you like, wow, where did this thing come from? You know, what did you do to this? It's a tremendous high. But, you know, I think what I hopefully, you know, more people learn that we actually really do care. It's not just the pros. It's the average Joe, the weekend warriors. We care. You know, that they play a more fun round of golf and a better round of golf. It's not just about selling them an object for however much it is and making the money. It's, you know, we love it when it works, and it works a lot of the times, right? Luckily.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or these guys wouldn't be. And again, I hearken back to the interaction you had with Ernie. I mean, Ernie's, he called the Big Easy for a reason, not just his swing. He's just a pretty easygoing guy. He can be intense when he's on the course, but for him to make these changes and to be receptive to something like that, because that's the engine of the club, right? I mean, it's a golf club, especially, we'll just stay driver, because that's the easiest thing for people to kind of relate to. You have the shaft, you have the grip, and you have the head. Right, so those are the three components. But the engine of the club is the shaft.
It is absolutely the shaft, you know. And we're all, you know, when a new shiny object comes out, we all want to try it. Like, this is a human curiosity, right? So every 2 years or so, the major manufacturers will come out with the new version of their flagship drivers, and they're pretty darn nice, right? They're pretty darn awesome. That being said, you know, it is kind of, you know, it really kind of begs the question what golf means to a person, right? Do you play 10 times a month, or do you play twice a month? Do you play, you know, once every month, once every other month, right? It's really about how much money and time you want to invest into the game of golf. And, you know, I think golfer statistically is defined as somebody who plays golf once a month. And if you're playing golf once a month, you know, and depending, you know, if you have unlimited resources, great. But I think for an average person, the question is, do I really want to spend $700 on a new driver every year or every other year? I will say for that person, you're better off spending $325, which happens to be our price, by the way. But you're better off spending $325 and exploring new shafts to your existing driver head so long as it's a relatively contemporary driver head, meaning it came from, you know, it was manufactured, say, last 5 or 6 years.
You know, we want to visit that more in-depthly when we come back after this break, Aki. Aki, you're a hero, because he's touched on something now that I think that's so relatable to so many people, because the equipment is outrageously priced. We'll be back after this bottom-of-the-hour break with You're a Hero from Newton.
Hi, this is Bob Toski, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
We are back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with Aki, You're a Hero. This guy is fascinating. He's part of the reason that we like to have him on the show, but also with what's going on with the carbon fiber shortages and such, it's very, very timely from that. Although I like to hear that it's been going on throughout the year, and you know, you've been able to adjust to that. But that's you and Newton dealing with the Japanese company versus other manufacturers of golf clubs in the U.S. What are you hearing down low with that they've been doing to get around this problem?
Well, you know, it's a small industry, so, you know, we do hear about other folks' experiences. I think I'm reasonably correct to say that pretty much everybody was affected to a certain level. I think that, but I'm sure they're figuring it out. I these are things that come up in business, right? You have to, you know, things happen that's not foreseeable, and you have to react. I think the bigger companies are probably better off because they store a lot more fibers for the foreseeable, production, let's say a 3-month supply or 6-month supply, whatever they're doing. You know, we're a smaller company, so, you know, we didn't have that that luxury, if you were. So we had to pivot pretty fast. But again, you know, we're a small company, so we can react much faster than the bigger players. So I guess it kind of balances out. But I'm sure they're figuring it out. I don't know. It's a tough one. You know, but again, I go back to the fact that, look, you know, national security, keeping Americans safe, the most important thing. You know, we're just talking about playing golf, right? So, you know, if we have to take a second seat, I think we would all universally understand that.
So you made a few excellent points in there, and that's the little guy versus the big guy, because I've been involved with this industry for upwards of 3 decades, and to see how it was then to where it is now, it's totally changed. From a standpoint of, you can be innovative, but you can only be so innovative, because you can't get clubs into players' bags these days because the big boys have locked it out with a 14-club deal. Used to be that you could get a putter or something like that into a bag, yep. But the light bulb went on one day, and that has totally changed in the industry. So you kind of have to veer away or come away with something new for the guys, which is why it's, from Newton's standpoint, the shaft is brilliant, because not only are you the mad scientist who likes doing it, but the players have an opportunity to still, it still says TaylorMade or whatever on the Titleist, what have you, on the head. The shaft can be different, and then the grip is what the grip is going to be. But as long as it says that company's name on the head, the player is still in good shape to keep his contract going.
That's right. I know we're in a very fortunate place. We exist because of all the great things and sometimes all the bad things that the industry, you know, has created or have done, right?
Right.
So in terms of the, you know, the interchangeability of the heads, right, the adapter system, where you can just take a wrench and screw off the shaft and put another one in, that created our business. There's no question about that, right? So we're very grateful to the creativity of the OEMs, you know, the head makers. And we work with, you know, all of them out on the tour, because, you know, they have their respective players, and, you know, players are trying different manufacturer products from time to time. And the only thing that the manufacturers want is to make sure that the players play the very best golf that they can using their equipment. And so we work closely with them to because we think we can help in many situations. And, you know, it's created a great relationships with all the different manufacturers and all the tour reps. And, you know, it's a very specialized world, but it's, you know, it's really happening for us. We are starting to see a few manufacturers put Newton Shaft into the fitting program, the national fitting programs that they have. And we're very grateful for that. We're trying to keep that trend going, so that, you know, when the fitters come to your golf course or the golf club or what have you, and they fit you for a brand new driver, et cetera, you know, Newton's going to be one of the options. And we're very happy about that development as well.
Well, it's interesting, and we try to do more research on this to figure out who to give credit to for these interchangeable heads, because it's genius. And I think that, you know, the epoxy guys, the club fitters and the guys who put those clubs together, you know, have epoxy nightmares from that standpoint. But just take it and unscrew this screw-like interesting shape and then put a new shaft in, and it's ingenious. And it is. I mean, there haven't been that many game-changing moves in the industry over the last five-ish years, but that's one of them. I mean, that's huge.
That's a huge one, right? So obviously you can change the setting. So you can, you know, create a little more loft, make it upright or flat, what have you. So that's the other benefit. It's fantastic. And we're seeing that more and more in the fairway woods. And you're starting to see that in the hybrids. Not quite really yet on the irons, but I'm kind of waiting for that to start happening. Because shafts are important and settings are important, you know, basically every club in your bag. And, you know, we're going to be making a big push with our fairway-specific shaft because, unlike basically the entire industry, we make separate shafts for drivers versus fairways because the physics are different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now the industry basically calls everything a wood shaft. And you get certain instructions to modify that shaft so that you can use it for your three wood, what have you. But I don't think it works that well. You know, the physics are different, right? Your driver is a much larger object, and it's teed up the, you know, 100% of the time or close to. Your three wood, you're hitting it on the ground, you're teeing it up. It's a smaller object. It weighs about 15 grams heavier. It's shorter, right?
Yep.
And you have kind of this optimal launch and then optimal torque characteristics. It's different than a driver, but everybody treats it the same. And I disagree with that. And like I said, because we care, because I want people to hit their fairways better, because I want people to be able to hit their three wood, like it's a hybrid, you know, we've spent a lot of time developing our fairway shaft, and I think they're awesome, right? So I think three wood is one of those clubs that most people can't really hit it very well. They can't launch it very well. And this is another thing I learned on the tour is if you pulled a bunch of professional players and say, what's your least favorite club in your bag? I bet you it's three wood ranks very, very high up there if it's not the highest. And, you know, so that's, you know, again, you know, these are the things that, that I get excited about, you know. So we just redesigned our fairway shaft for the Motion, and it's so easy to launch it, you know. And I have had so many people hit it, and it's just night and day, you know. So, you know, I, again, going back to, should I get a new three wood or should I get a new shaft? Now, you know, obviously, you know, we work closely with a big manufacturer. So I would say, look, they make awesome stuff, but you know, if resources is limited and you don't play golf all that often, maybe changing the shaft is the right thing to do.
See, interesting. This is why we have Aki on the show, because he's just so insightful and things you don't think about just because it's never been done, so to speak, in the past. Whatever shaft came with your club, your three wood specifically, and that's the club really that a lot of recreational players that should be using instead of their driver. But when you monetize it like you did with the $700 driver, we'll just say, hey, maybe you got it for $650. That's insane to me. And I just so succinctly recall having a conversation with the late great Ely Callaway about that, and that was, he was charging $350 at that time. It was like, Mr. Callaway says, Keith, I just need him to hit one good shot around. I'm like, Mr. Callaway, I need more than one shot around. No, just one shot, Keith. That's all they need, you know. And it's like, and you know, and he talked people into spending, you know, hundreds of dollars on it, and now the industry's gone up even, you know, it's insane. It really is. Right. Sorry, my friends in the industry out there, but $650 for a driver. Even if you paid $500 for a driver, come on. You know, my Japanese friends, besides you, Aki, maybe you too, would say, "What's wrong with it?" You know, because my Japanese playing friends, if they don't spend $1,000 on a driver, then something is bad. You know, bad. So I don't know, but from the American market standpoint, you know, it's $700. But you know, sometimes, you know, you love the car that you're driving, you haven't, and sometimes it just needs a new paint job, you know, or maybe right. New rims, right? Some 18s on that baby and some nice chrome, you know, whatever it is, and you know, it's a totally different look. It's the same vehicle, but it's not the same vehicle.
Right. Yep. No, I mean, yeah, it just depends on, you know, again, you know, every individual is different and they treat golf differently. You know, I'm addicted to golf as are, you know, 40 million, you know, Americans out there. And, you know, it is hard to argue against the new technology or the newest technology. There's some, you know, I think some of the, oh, I would say many of the brand new heads are very, very cool, right? They're very cool. Mm-hmm. But you still have to pay attention to the shaft, right? It's not like if you just buy one off the rack, it might not have the right setup. So just because you have the very best, you know, newish head, you still have to make it perform with the combination of the right shaft to that head, right?
Right.
That fits that person. And, you know, that's the challenge, and that's where you optimize, you know. So we, you know, people make fun of us because, or you know, fun of me, I suppose, because you know, some of our ads would say, you know, get 10 yards longer or get 15 yards longer, and they say, hey, does the shaft does that? And it's a kind of a complex question to answer truthfully, because I see people gain 25 yards. Okay, but it is a combination of how mismatched they were with their prior equipment and how properly matched you are now with the current equipment, right? And that differential can be huge. And it's not just yardage, it's how straight it is, right? How predictable, right? Those are all very, very important things because we play a stroke play game. So the answer is oftentimes you see a ton more, right? Sometimes you don't see a ton more, but you still see gains. So, like, I talked about the 77 players that have put the Newton Chats in play at a tour event. They gain something. Otherwise, they would never have put it in play, right? And sometimes that is consistency. Sometimes that's just the tightness of the dispersion. Sometimes that's more yardage. Sometimes it's higher, right? Sometimes it's the predictability, because the pros hate unpredictable shots. Pros hate the ball going left, for example, right?
Right.
So it's a lot of things, you know, and that's what just makes this such a great game, because it's endless. Right, it's endless.
The unpredictability, that is true. As Wirthaki, you're a hero from Newton Golf Shaft. And just customization is so big. People don't think about that. They talk about getting fitted for your driver and stuff, but that shaft is part of that as well. And Newton's obviously not the only manufacturer of shafts out there. I mean, you got Fujikura, Mitsubishi's doing their thing, True Temper, KBS. I mean, you got a lot on the plate. And, you know, a lot of competition. So you have to strive to be better.
Yes. 1,000%. And we do things a little bit different than others. You know, so I think I go back to that phrase, we exist because of what the industry has been doing, what they've created, the good things they've done and the bad things they've done. And I think one of the areas that helped create opportunities for Newton Golf is by and large, and I suppose this is a controversial statement, but by and large, the golf shafts are made pretty similarly, right? So let's say you have Fuji, right? I have the utmost respect for Fuji because I've played their shafts a lot, you know, before starting the company. And they have their red shaft, they have the blue shaft, and the black shaft. Right?
Right.
You know, you got the tip flex, the mid flex, and the butt flex. And pretty much all the other manufacturers have followed that thinking. And I'm not saying Fuji started it, but they all kind of do that, right? It's a tip flex, it's a mid flex, it's a butt flex. And, you know, people get fancy with EI curves and stuff like that, but basically they're talking about the same thing. And that is fine. And I think the golf industry has gotten to live with that, those categories. But the whole point of a golf shaft is that it bends, right? You load it and you unload it. And when you bend an object, you're storing more energy. So we started with the premise of, okay, so if you have a red, blue, and a black, and you're focused on the tip section, which is roughly 8 to 10 inches, midsection, another roughly 8 to 10 inches, and the butt and so forth, then you're only using kind of the part of the shaft.
Before we get too deep into that, let's go to a break, Aki, and have him come back, and you can start from the beginning on that for the tip, the mid, the butt. We knew it was going to be educational. Hopefully you're learning some things along the way, but it's all about improving your game, and that's part of what we do and why we do it. We'll be back to wrap up the show. We're back for our final segment of the show. It's been a pleasure to spend the hour with Aki, your hero. He is a wild wizard when it comes to shafts, and the guy's so creative, and we just love hearing all the stuff about it. But he is the CEO of Newton Golf Company, the little golf shaft company that could, and, you know, setting the people on their heads. And 77 pros are playing it or have put it in play on the various tours. So that's speaking volumes to us for sure. And, you know, it does add to the credibility, but I watch the interaction between you and Jimenez and different guys, Olazabal on the driving range. And it was just such a natural thing, but they were true believers because, you know, they were using the shaft. They were exhibiting. And again, you said it earlier in the show, these guys don't make changes to their equipment unless it's going to be meaningful.
Yes, they don't. And if it doesn't continue to work, it's going to come right back out. And I think that's one of the things that some of the compliments that we've received from our, you know, OEM partners is, hey, you know, you guys are making headway. And we've noticed that when people start using the Newton shaft, it doesn't tend to come out of their bag very often. You know, and they like that, right? Because if you're Callaway and you convert somebody over from Titleist, well, you want them to continue to play Callaway, right? And that applies for everybody. And so, you know, whatever it is that makes people continue to play the shaft, and I think it's because it works, you know, that's the most important, right? It's we try not to be a flash in the pan. We want to be here for as long as we can. I want to be doing this until I'm no longer around. I mean, it's a bottomless ocean, the science of golf shafts and golf clubs. And it's absolutely fascinating. So I'm never going to hit bottom until I do this until the day I die.
Okay, good. That means you'll be coming back on the show in future weeks. So we're good. We're good. We're glad we heard that. But before we went to that last break for this segment, you were talking about the three different flexes.
Yes.
And the way the industry has taken it: the tip, the mid, the butt, and kind of made it a standard. Continue with that.
Yes.
Thought that you had.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's the standard. And when we started the company, you know, I wanted to do something very cool and something that outperformance thing. You know, performance is just a key ingredient. It's the only ingredient that motivates me in particular and the rest of the company. So when you look at that being the standard, you ask, and then the other thing you need to know is when you bend the object, you're storing energy, right? So why would you limit your energy storage to one third of the shaft segment? You know, why not try to bend it throughout and then hopefully store more energy in a controlled way, and you're going to be better off. So that's kind of how all of our shafts are designed. Yes, on the more flexy shaft, like we go from 1 to 7 dots, 7 being the stiffest, 1 is the softest. On our 1 dot and 2 dot, yes, the profile is lower, but that's kind of our interpretation of the red shaft, right? We still bend it over a very wide range. And say our 7 dot and the 6 dot, 6.5 dot, you know, what's equivalent to the X and the double X shafts, we do migrate that flex upward towards the butt a little bit, but we are still bending it over a very wide area. And that is our interpretation of the butt flex. And why not? And I think people really feel that difference. You know, I think one of the taglines that we came up with was straighter, longer, less effort. And the less effort part is what I'm talking about, which is load the shaft more efficiently, load more of the shaft, store more energy, and then sequence that to a better golf swing. And then you feel like you don't have to swing it that hard. The shaft will flex and, you know, store energy, and it'll be your partner. Like, it'll be your pal, right? You're not the only one making the effort. Like, the shaft is helping you. And that's the sensation that I want people to feel. Like, wow, like, this thing is easy to, you know, swing. I feel like I don't have to swing hard, but the ball just jumps out. And wow, that's like golf is fun again, right? Because golf is so hard. Golf is such a hard game. And, you know, why? You got to make life easier for yourself. You're going to have more fun.
No question about it. Pleasure to have you on. Aki, you're a hero, my guest on TW Keith Jones. We're just out of time. Get out there and practice your game. Maybe switch a shaft. Practice, practice, take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.